Our scripture reading this morning will come from two places in the book of Revelation. The first place is in Revelation chapter 1, and I'll be reading the first 9 verses of Revelation 1, and then we'll be turning back to the last chapter of Revelation, the last chapter of the Bible, Revelation chapter 22, and we'll be reading verses 6 through 11. But let's begin this morning by reading from Revelation chapter 1, verses 1 through 9. Keep in mind as well that in your bulletins is an outline of this morning's sermon, which will aid you as you follow along. This is the Word of God, Revelation chapter 1, 1 through 9. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants what must soon take place. He made it known by sending his angel to his servant John, who testifies to everything he saw, that is, the Word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. Blessed is the one who reads the words of this prophecy, and blessed are those who hear it and take to heart what is written in it, because the time is near. John, to the 7 churches in the province of Asia, grace and peace to you from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the 7 spirits before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth. To him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood, and has made us to be a kingdom of priests to serve his God and Father. To him be glory and power forever and ever. Amen. Look, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierce him, and all the peoples of the earth will mourn because of him. So shall it be. Amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. I, John, your brother and companion in the suffering and kingdom and patient endurance that are ours in Jesus, was on the island of Patmos because of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus. And then if you'll turn with me to Revelation 22, and we'll be reading the verses 6 through 11 of Revelation 22. The angel said to me, "These words are trustworthy and true. The Lord, the God of the spirits of the prophets, sent his angel to show his servants the things that must soon take place. Behold, I am coming soon. Blessed is he who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book. I, John, am the one who heard and saw these things, and when I had heard and seen them, I fell down to worship at the feet of the angel who had been showing them to me. But he said, 'Do not do it. I am a fellow servant with you and with your brothers and prophets and all who keep the words of this book. Worship God.' Then he told me, 'Do not seal up the words of the prophecy of this book, because the time is near. Let him who does wrong continue to do wrong. Let him who is vile continue to be vile. Let him who does right continue to do right. And let him who is holy continue to be holy.'" Thus the reading of God's word this morning. We find it in Revelation 1 and Revelation 22. In last week's sermon, we pointed out that the book of Revelation begins with a prologue and with an epilogue. A beginning of the book, a conclusion of the book. And this morning's sermon text is part of that epilogue. God has inspired this portion of the epilogue, verses 7 through 11 of our text this morning. And the message that God has for us in this portion of the epilogue is, who or what is the focus of your worship? Is your worship the creation or the Creator? And John's answer, God's answer, is worship God. Now you remember, as last week's sermon focused on verses 6 and 7 of our text, you notice that the author is wrapping up these final themes of the book in the epilogue. And in verses 6 and 7, he is authenticating the book of Revelation. He reminds us there, as the angel speaks to John, that the words of this book are trustworthy and true. He reminds us that the Lord God of the spirits of the prophets, the same God who inspired the prophets, inspired the writing of this book. God sent his angel to show his servants the things that must soon take place, and John wrote them down for us. But now as he moves to the second part of the epilogue, once again he is authenticating for us the writings in this book. It begins in verse 8 with John identifying himself as the author. John states, "I, John, am the one who heard and saw these things." Now remember, this is John, the disciple John, who in the Gospel of John never writes his name. Throughout the gospel, he refers to himself as the disciple whom Jesus loved. But now in the book of Revelation, John identifies himself as the author. In fact, as we read through the first part, the prologue of the book of Revelation, he repeatedly, three times, mentions his name. He mentions his name at the end of verse 1. The angel said to his servant John. His name is mentioned in verse 4 as if he is writing this letter on behalf of God to the seven churches. He mentions his name in Revelation 1 verse 9. I, John, your brother and companion. And now as we come to the end of the book, to the final epilogue, we come and see once again John identifying himself as the one who heard and who saw these things. Once again, John is authenticating the book for us. He is reminding us that this book, which is so different from the rest of the New Testament, this book which is filled with visions, this book which is filled with all kinds of images, which the church throughout history has had trouble understanding, John is now establishing once again in the epilogue, I, John the apostle, I, John the disciple of Jesus, I am the one who saw and heard these things, and the angel revealed them to me, and I wrote them down. And this book of Revelation is the Word of God and needs to be included in your Bibles, and these words must be believed. But that is not the only reason that John writes his name in verse 8. It's not just to once again authenticate the book a second time, as he's done in verses 6 and 7 of Revelation 22, but he has another purpose, a second purpose in this book. And as we read on in verse 8, that second purpose comes to light. I, John, am the one who heard and saw these things. And when I had heard and seen them, I fell down to worship at the feet of the angel who had been showing them to me. But he said to me, "Do not do it. I am a fellow servant with you and with your brothers, the prophets, and of all who keep the words of this book. Worship God." You see, John has been hearing this glorious revelation from the angel, this revelation from God, which has flown from God through Christ to the angel unto John. And he has seen these things, and he has witnessed these things through whatever means God has revealed it to him. And he is so caught up in what he has seen in this book as he has gazed at the throne of God. He falls down, we're told in verse 8, to worship at the feet of the angel who had been showing them to him. But the angel will have none of that. The angel responds and says, "Do not do it. I am a fellow servant with you and with your brothers and the prophets and all who keep the words of this book." Do not do it. For the angel realizes that he is a creature, and that he is not due the worship of John or any other person who lives on this earth. But only God is deserving of his worship. Now you remember one of the themes throughout the book of Revelation has been the temptation for man to worship the creation. Yet as we read through the first part of Revelation in the prologue and even the rest of Revelation chapter 1, what is first established in this book is that God is the God of this world. That God and His Son Jesus Christ are the eternal creators. That is why throughout that prologue we read of the description of the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come. That is why at the end of chapter 1 we read of the Son of Man, Jesus Christ, gazing down at the seven churches to whom will receive this letter. That is why we are given the picture in Revelation 4 of the throne of God and God Himself over King over heaven and King over everything upon this earth. And yet, as we now come to Revelation 22, here is John himself bowing before a created angel. Now you know from the book of Revelation and other parts of Scripture that Satan himself was a created angel. And throughout the book of Revelation, we have seen how Satan uses the creation, how he uses his cohorts in the creation to cause the peoples of the earth to worship that creation and ultimately to serve and to worship him. It is Satan himself who sparks the rise of the beast of the sea, representing the nations of the world, of which so many people in this world serve and believe and treat as a god. We see that Satan is the source of the false prophet or the beast of the earth who rises up and through communication and education causes the people to look to the beast of the sea for their hope and deliverance in this world. We were reminded in Revelation 17 of the power of the prostitute and all her seduction, Babylon the Great, which seduces the peoples of the world to worship their own pleasures and the pursuit of the created things instead of the Creator. And so now as we come to Revelation 22, as we come to the epilogue of this book, once again we are reminded as to where our focus must be. As it was established at the very beginning of the book, to worship God and to look to God, so now at the end of the book, as we see John bow before this angel and this angel rebuking him, "Do not do it. I am a fellow servant with you and with the brothers and the prophets of all who keeps the words of this book. I am part of the created order, even as an angel." The angel tells him to worship God and none other, not the creation, not any part of the created creatures, but worship God alone. But now as you go along to verse 10, we notice that the angel is not finished in his words. There's a reason, there's a focus to his instructions to John to worship God. He goes on in verse 10 to say, "Then he told me what?" What did the angel tell John? "Do not seal up the words of the prophecy in this book, because the time is near." Now, some of you who are very familiar with Scripture would recognize a verse like that, a verse similar to that in another part of the Bible. Let's read it again. "Do not seal up the words of the prophecy of this book, because the time is near." The angel is telling John, do not seal up the words of this book. Do not seal them up, because the time is near. They're going to happen very soon. But as you go back to the book, the Old Testament book, which is similar to Revelation, the book of Daniel, a book of the Old Testament, which is filled with prophecy, you notice that there is a similar ending to the book of Daniel in Daniel chapter 12. In Daniel chapter 12, the very last chapter of the book of Daniel, as you come to the epilogue at that book, you notice in Daniel 12, verse 9, God tells Daniel this, "Go your way, Daniel, because the words are closed up and sealed until the time of the end. So at the end of the book of Revelation, God speaks through his angel and tells John, do not seal up the words of this prophecy. But at the end of the book of Daniel, Daniel is told the opposite. Go your way, Daniel, because the words are closed up and sealed until the time of the end. Why the difference? What God is saying to Daniel and all of those who will receive his book and the prophecies in the book of Daniel, what God is saying is that there will come a time, Daniel, when the words proclaimed to you in this book will come to fulfillment, except for the final fulfillment of the end of time. And throughout the book of Daniel, Daniel's prophecies, we can see how those prophecies were fulfilled in Jesus Christ. Think back to that vision in Daniel chapter 2, how Nebuchadnezzar saw the vision of a statue, an enormous statue that reached up unto heaven. And it had a golden head, and it had silver for its chest and arms, and it had bronze for its thigh and legs, and how it had iron for its feet. And as Nebuchadnezzar sought to understand the meaning of this dream, Daniel was there to explain it to him, that the gold represented the kingdom of Babylon, that the silver represented the coming kingdom of the Medes and the Persians, that the bronze represented the kingdom of the Greeks, and that the iron feet represented the kingdom of the Romans. And yet, in Nebuchadnezzar's dream, he sees a rock that is cut from the mountain, that rolls down the mountain and smashes the statue into bits. And then the mountain, the rock becomes a large mountain that goes all throughout the earth. In this vision that God has given to Nebuchadnezzar and that Daniel interprets, we see that the rock is the rock of Jesus Christ who has come down from heaven. Jesus Christ who came down during the Roman era and died on the cross and paid for the sins of his people. And since that time, as the gospel was proclaimed throughout the world, people from every tribe and nation have come to believe in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. We see this throughout the book of Daniel as we look at various prophecies, the prophecy of the 70 weeks and others that focus on its fulfillment in Christ's coming and his death and resurrection on the cross. And so as you come to the end of the book of Daniel, God tells Daniel, go your way, Daniel, because the words are closed up and sealed. When Christ comes, the things prophesied in this book are closed up and sealed because Christ has fulfilled them, except for certain parts of this book, which will be fulfilled at the end of time, at the consummation, when our Lord returns again. But now, as you come to the end of the book of Revelation, we see that the angel tells John the opposite. Do not seal up the words of the prophecy of this book because the time is near. Daniel is told that the prophecy is going to be sealed up, that it's going to be fulfilled with the coming of Christ, except for the parts at the consummation. But now, as God has given the church this book of Revelation, what the angel is telling John through God's power is that the words of this book, the words of this prophecy, are not sealed. That means that the words of this book are not sealed up for a future time. The words of this book are not recorded history, recorded past time history that are now sealed up and we wait for the end. The words that we find in the book of Revelation are words which are being fulfilled, which are being described even now as we live, from the time of Christ's coming until he returns again. These words are not sealed up, But the events and the things that you read about in the book of Revelation are things which are taking place and being fulfilled in the life of the church from Christ's first coming until his coming again. So that when you hear and know of wars and past history of wars and all the millions that have been killed, we can see the riders on the horse of Revelation 6 being sent out as the seals of God's wrath are opened. That as you think of the disease that takes place in this world, you're reminded again, all the lives that are lost, the seals of God's wrath are opened, and the horsemen are sent out from heaven to all four corners of the earth. That as you hear and know of the natural disasters that take place in this world, the tornadoes, the hurricanes, the things that come about, the tsunamis, and the thousands of lives that are lost, we hear the sound of the trumpets of God's wrath being sounded. As we are reminded of the power of the beast of the sea and the beast of the earth, as we think about Babylon the Great and the great prostitute and her seduction over the things of this world, we see that the spiritual battle being described in the book of Revelation is being fulfilled during your lifetime and the lifetime of the church as it exists here on earth. This is why the angel tells John, do not seal up the words of the prophecy of this book, for the time is near. These things are being fulfilled, John, and will continue to be fulfilled until our Savior comes. You notice how what we've read about today in verses 8 through 11 is sandwiched between those phrases. Verse 7, behold, I am coming soon. Verse 12, behold, I am coming soon. Christ's coming is given to us repeatedly through this epilogue so that what we would read would always be read in light of his coming. Our Savior is coming soon. And the message that the angel has been given from John is this: worship God. Don't worship the created things. Don't make the sole purpose of your life pursuing created things such as wealth or pleasure or pursuing creatures of this earth who seem to have power but are only created by God and someday will be destroyed. But now as you come to verse 11 of our text, we see that as the angel tells John in verse 7 concerning the things taking place in his life, do not seal up the words of the prophecy of this book, for the time is near. He not only tells him that, but in verse 11, he enables John to see and us to see how you can tell who belongs to which kingdom. The angel goes on to say this to John in verse 11. Let him who does wrong continue to do wrong. Let him who is vile continue to be vile. Let him who does right continue to do right. And let him who is holy continue to be holy. Notice the four things mentioned in this verse. The first two are negative things, wrong things, sinful things. The second two are right and just and holy things. And you can also see that as you look at the four things, that there is a downward progression and an upward progression. Let him who does wrong continue to do wrong. And not only that, but let him who is vile continue to be vile. He goes from being wrong to being vile and sinful in their wickedness. On the other hand, when we come to the end of the verse, it goes from, let him who does right continue to do right, and then one step higher, and let him who is holy continue to be holy. Why? What is John telling us? When you tie in what John is saying in verse 10, what God through his angel has said to John, what he has written down for you to see, God is telling us this. The words of the prophecies in this book, the words that you have read about throughout this book of Revelation, they're taking place right now. And you can see who belongs to which kingdom by how they respond to the words of this book. Let him who does wrong continue to do wrong. Him who wants to sin, him who rejects the teachings of this book, that Christ is coming, that there are powers at work in this world, that people are seduced by sin and intoxicated by it. Let him who does wrong continue to do wrong. Their response is going to be to do wrong to the book, to reject it, and God is going to allow them to do wrong and continue to do wrong. And you will see a downward spiral from doing wrong to doing what is vile and wicked and sinful behavior. Some of you have been attending the Romans Bible study on Wednesday nights. This past Wednesday, we were looking at Romans chapter 1, which is describing this very thing. For in Romans chapter 1, we are told about those who suppress the truth of God's word. Those who should know there's a creator based on the creation and the world around them, but have rejected God as creator. They have suppressed the truth in their minds. Thus, Romans 1 tells us, God has given them over. He has let him do what is wrong and continue to do what is wrong. And in the book of Romans, Romans chapter 1, we see the downward progression of their sin to not only doing what is wrong, but doing what is vile and wicked and sinful. This is what is being described in verse 11. Those who reject the prophecies and the words of this book, those that reject those things, will continue to do wrong. God will give them over to their lusts, to their own desires, and they will become more and more wicked and vile. On the other hand, those who respond to the words of this prophecy and worship God, those who see the truths that are in this book and what they mean for their lives and the world that they live in, those who do what is right will progress to an even higher state. Let him who is holy continue to be holy. Those who respond with love and obedience unto God's word, those who hear of these things and are stricken by the wickedness of the world and the powers that Satan is bringing about through his cohorts on this earth, those who respond and recognize these things and turn unto God, no matter what they face or have to struggle with in their life, they will do right and continue to do right, and God will take them one step further in Jesus Christ. Let him who is holy continue to be holy. But now, as you remember, our journey through the book of Revelation, I have been preaching to you on just about every verse in the book. But there is one verse in the book that we passed over. And if you are looking carefully at our text this morning, and you go back to that verse in Revelation 19, you will see similarity between this verse and between the one in Revelation 19. In Revelation 19, verse 10, the verse reads this way. At this I fell at his feet to worship him, but he said to me, do not do it. I am a fellow servant with you and with your brother who hold to the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. As we were going along in Revelation chapter 19, and we sang the hallelujah chorus of God's victory and destruction of Babylon the Great at the beginning of this chapter, and at the end of the chapter, as we turned in verse 11 toward the rider of the white horse and the champion, the Lord Jesus Christ, verse 10 did not seem to connect with what was said before in the chapter and what was said at the end of the chapter. And now as you come and look at it once again, and we connect it with Revelation 22, it seems, why is God saying almost the exact same thing in these verses? God brings about these two descriptions of John and the angel because God is tying up these two sections with one another. The section that ends in Revelation 19 begins at Revelation 17, and it describes the woman and the beast. It describes Babylon the Great and all her seductive powers that she brings about upon the peoples of the world, causing them to worship the creation and not the true God, causing them to be deceived by the fallen angel Satan, a creature, and giving their worship and love over to him. And it concludes with a reminder, verse 10 of chapter 19, don't worship the creation, worship God. Now at the end of the book, having completed in the end of chapter 19 and into 20 the destruction of all evil through our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, the final consummation in which Satan and all his cohorts and all his followers are destroyed, and Revelation 21 and 22, which describes the contrasting kingdom, the bride of Christ, the church of Christ in the heavenly realms, we again come back to this concluding verse. God is once again reminding us one of the themes of the book of Revelation. Don't worship the creation. Worship the Creator. Worship God. John has to be reminded twice. We need to be reminded twice. These words in this book are not sealed up. They are real. They are about your life, even now. And as you look around you, you can see that he who does wrong continues to do wrong, and he who is vile continues to be vile. But God is calling you this morning to respond to the words of this book and do what is right, and continue to do what is right, which is to believe in Jesus Christ, God Himself, as the Creator, and Jesus Christ as your Savior. Thus, you will do what is holy, and continue to be holy. John's message from God to you is, worship God. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for this glorious book of Revelation in which you have revealed to us the things taking place in this world. We are reminded, O God, of the spiritual battle that takes place in the heavenly realms and how that battle is played out upon this earth. Lord, we live in a sinful world. We see so many temptations around us, so many things that could seduce us and turn our attention away from you and upon the created things. Lord, we pray that as we have heard the preaching through this book, as we have been reminded this morning once again, may our focus never be on the creatures, but on the Creator. May our focus be to worship you. May our hearts be set upon you so that we glorify you and enjoy you forever. May we be a people who respond to this book by doing what is right, who respond to this book by living for Jesus Christ as the Lord of our lives and our Savior from sin, that we too may be holy and someday go to that holy place that you have for us in the heavenly realms, where there is no sin or death or curse, but only eternal salvation and glory and a life of praise unto you. Grant us this grace, O God, to worship you with our hearts, soul, minds, and strength, that all our days may be focused on you alone. We pray all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen.